Welcome to Battle Cry. This is Jim M. Green speaking. I'd like to welcome you to this broadcast, and I'm going to continue on discussing the area of curses, and this is in relationship with spiritual warfare and also in the realm of deliverance. And I just want to kind of make a quick review here, some things I've already mentioned in case there's some new people listening. Our text has been from Proverbs 26, verse 2, where it says, "A curse causeless shall not come." Now, that doesn't really need any explaining. It just simply explains itself. It says two things. There are such things as curses that can come upon God's people, and also there must be a reason why a curse will come and why a curse will not come. And we have been looking in past broadcasts into the Word, and we've discovered three areas that a curse can come. And the first area is in an area of ancestral curses. And we've studied the Scriptures on this. In case you're new, maybe you want to write us at Free Love Ministries here and receive those tapes. And we have literature on this. But I'm just going to just review real quickly here. And that is one way, is through ancestral curses. God will curse those that dabble into the occult, to the third and to the fourth generation. And those that have been into the area of incest, He curses them to 10 generations. Now, we know that since we are Christians and under grace, that Jesus Christ died to take away the curse. But also, that's right, that's what He did. He died to take it away, but we must work out our salvation. In other words, what He did was open up the door. He provided the means whereby we can do these things. And this is part of working out our salvation. See, salvation means more than just being saved, getting some fire insurance. Salvation implies deliverance, safety, preservation, healing. You know, it includes a lot of things, and a lot of these things we must work out as we go. As God reveals things to us, we must put His Word into operation. It's like, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, the Bible says it, but automatically the devil does not flee from us unless we resist. We must resist, and then he'll flee. Okay? This is what I'm trying to get across. Too many Christians are lazy. They want God to do everything for them. But listen, the responsibility is put on us. We must put Satan underfoot. We must take dominion. We must cast down those imaginations. We must go to war. God has already opened the realm of dominion up for us to use the weapons He's supplied for us. We must do it. We must endure hardness as a good soldier. And it's the same thing in the area of curses. We must break those curses that might be standing against us. You know, whenever there is a curse standing against a person, Satan is able to harass that person's life and personality through the operation of demon spirits. This is how he does it, through demons. Now, there can either these demons can either oppress the person from the outside, or they can infiltrate the person's being, taking up residence in the body or in the soulish realm. And this is why it's so confusing to a lot of Christians. They don't believe that a Christian can have a demon. They just take it logically. They say it's impossible. But let me tell you, people, if you're walking with God, you know, and you're saved and born again, a demon cannot possess your will. He cannot possess you, but you can possess a demon. And demons are none other than evil personalities. They're spirits of fear. Those are demons. You say it's just my personality. No, it's spirits of fear, spirits of bondage, spirits of infirmities. There's many demons listed in the Bible that we just take as our personality. We think, well, that's just me. Well, I want to let you know it is not just you, and that's why you're under their attack all the time. If you'd cast them out like the Bible said, you'd be free. And they attack our soulish realm, which consists of our mind. They attack our mind. They attack our will. They attack our emotions. See, generating sin, sickness, and various other kinds of problems, mental, physical, emotional problems, caused by these spirits. And when, you know, like if we have a curse standing against us through these three areas, then these spirits have totally legal right to harass us. And this is why we need to talk about these things. We need to expose them. Now, that is one way that we can be harassed, is through ancestral curses or sins of the fathers. Another way is through the area of personal involvement. Okay? We personally, as Christians, can dabble into sexual perversions. Okay? Think about it. Fornication, adultery, incest, all these sickening old things. You say, oh, I don't want to talk about those. Well, many of you probably out there have need of repentance in this area. And we can be cursed by dabbling into the occult, playing around with some of the things of Satan. And we can also have curses stand against us by being under some cultish covering that we have been in the past. And we've just carried that on over in a Christian walk. And we can be cursed by having accursed objects in our house. You'd be surprised how many objects carry curses. I know. We had a lot of them at one time, you know, from picking things up around the mission field we've been. You know, we had little statues, you know, from Haiti and Mexico. And we had Oriental rugs and we had Indian rugs. We had all kinds of things. And God began to show us that a lot of the things we were feeling in the spirit world were come from those accursed objects. Because some of the designs on these particular objects we had were none other than Satanist signs. Signs of the Zodiac. Different things that came from Satan himself. And our personal involvement. I need not say too much about this. We know good and well, if we're Christians, we should not be dabbling around in sin. We know that. We shouldn't be running around with the boys or with the girls. We know we shouldn't be partaking of the things of the world that would cause us to fall and stumble. And of course, the last thing here that a curse can come against us is by a spoken curse. And this is what I want to talk about today. Now, a curse is a prayer or invocation for harm or injury to come upon one. Vilification. Now, vilification means a defamatory utterance. Now, defamatory, of course, just speaks for itself. It's an act of defaming another. Now, we just kind of want to limit just curses like to cartoons and you know, interesting novels and, you know, motion pictures, you know, where witches get together and put curses and spells like the curse of Dracula and the curse of Frankenstein. We like to think it's just all fantasy, don't we? Well, I will let you know that the occult is growing bigger and bigger each year in the United States. Now, this thing is real. And truly, as sure as I'm talking to you, curses can affect us as Christians. Now, it says a curse causeth shall not come. But what causes a curse to come if it will come and stay? What causes that? Well, it's because we may not be walking under the covering of God. We may be having one hand in the hand of Satan and one hand in the hand of God and expect, you know, to walk totally straight. We can't. We'll be pulled. And if we're dabbling around in some of these things of the occult, for sure, curses will come upon us. And I can just guarantee you, some of you out there listening today have curses over your life from these three areas. I just know this because God has shown me this. And if you just take heed to this and seek God over this, some of you are tormented in your body. You've got afflictions in your body, sickness in your body. God didn't give that to you. Satan did. Some of you are under a heavy financial load. Some of you are ready to blow your brains out. You just can't seem to take another day. Some of you have to run to the psychiatrist and psychologist. Some of you are addicted to illegal and illegal drugs. Some of you can't cope with life unless you've got a bottle of wine in your hand or some kind of alcohol drink. I meet up with people day in and day out, Christians, mind you, that are professing Christianity are cursed in these areas. Praise God. And it shouldn't be this way. Jesus Christ told us to work out our own salvation in Philippians there. He spoke to Paul when he wrote that down. Work out your own salvation. Well, I thought salvation was a free gift. Why work it out? That's exactly what I'm trying to bring across to you. We must work it out. Put in operation some of the things that God has written in His book. Well, what do we do when we read the word that says, cast out demons in my name? Well, we think, oh, that's just for those poor ungodly old sinners that walk the streets out there. Listen, he was writing to Christians. We have need of deliverance also. We need to cast out spirits, and we need to also cast off the works of darkness that would cause us to be demonized. Stop doing the things of the world, and therefore demons wouldn't have a legal right to come in and play havoc in our lives. All you have to do, folks, is open the door and demons will come in. Say, well, I'm a Christian. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter a bit if you're a Christian. All you have to do is give them a legal right to come in, and they will, in the mind, the will, and emotions. Well, in case this may be new to some of you, I've been talking quite a bit on the radio about this, and I've got two classes of people. Some class of people say, Jim Green, you're totally insane, and you need to go to a mental ward. Some say, thank God you're preaching the truth. This has really helped me. Well, it's up to you, however you want to decide if this is true or if it is false, but I would recommend you go to the Word of God first and see if it's true or false. And don't take what old dear old brother so-and-so said 50 years ago. Why don't you read the Bible yourself? I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, well, my pastor said this, my pastor said that, because his pastor said this. Why in the world don't we get out of business and seek God ourselves and ask God what's up? Why do we always have to go with brother so-and-so said 50 years ago what theory has taught us? I'll tell you why. Because too many Christians are lazy. They won't spend any time in a prayer closet. Now, back to the area of curses. I'm going to get this out today. If the hair lips the devil. Because he does not like me talking about this, because this will set a lot of you free. It has set me free. You'd be surprised when you start dealing in this area how Satan will come along and just try to just shut your mouth up. He just does not want people to be informed about this. You know why? God's people perish for lack of knowledge. That's why we perish. That's why we drop on the vine. That's why we go to church. We sit there all dried up, you know, and our lip is dragging the ground. We're all rebellious inside, and we don't like this, and we don't like that. Why? Well, we're harassed by Satan. Why else? God doesn't want us to be in that shape. Now, curses can be wrought by individuals working in cooperation with demon spirits to send curses our way, okay? Now, it's not unusual for this to happen, say, in foreign countries, okay? I've talked about this, but what about America? What about the good old America? This goes on every day in America, too. The humanists in America want to stamp out Christianity. So do the Satanists. They hate the name of God. I've talked with Satanists. I mean, they just hate Christians with a passion. And they'll do anything to curse you. But you know what, brother and sister? If you're not walking with God, that curse can come on you. We've had curses sent our way. We've had to send them back, but we was walking with God. The reason it didn't come on us. But they send curses out in the form of spells, potions, hexes, vexes, enchantments, and jinxes. All these are types of spirits working against Christians. I'm not even going to deal with the unsaved, because the unsaved are predestined to hell in the lake of fire if they don't change their ways. You know, they got a one-way ticket to hell. But what about us Christians? Why are we tormented? How come we're not walking a victorious Christian walk that we should? You know, it's kind of like a mockery when we get up and read God's Word and we read all the wonderful principles, and yet our life doesn't reflect a thing about it, does it? God wants a holy people. He wants a consecrated people. And a lot of these things that I'm telling you today is because you may have curses standing against you. You need to break them. We need to break them. 10, 20, 30, 40 generations back on both sides of the family, get these curses broke against us, and therefore those spirits working against us, they can't work against us any longer. And I want to tell you another area here that I have seen in churches. You say, oh, what do you mean in churches? That's right, folks, in churches. Especially the charismatic church. I speak a whole lot against the charismatic church because I have found it to be too liberal. Now, I'm not classified as a charismatic, although I do have the charismatic gift working in this ministry. But I am not a charismatic. And I believe charismatic, they got so loose, they wanted to compromise so much of the world, they've let anything come in. And you can receive curses by laying on a hand. If you're not careful, say a witch, a psychic witch comes in, a charismatic witch, let's put it that way, comes into a meeting, and you say, oh, he's a Christian or she's a Christian, oh boy, let's get him to pray for us. How do you know they're a Christian? Are you discerning that, or are you just saying what they have told you? You'd be surprised how many charismatic witches are traveling the circuit putting curses on God's people, and the poor little Christians are dumb enough to let it happen because they're not exercising the spirit to be able to discern good and evil. Laying on a hand, you can have transfer of spirits by laying on a hand. You can receive false tongues and false gifts. You can have psychic prayers come against you and it will affect you. I could go into some history on this, but I don't have time. Now, I've got in front of me a curse that I want to read. Now, I want to let you know where I stand before I read this, because this is a curse against Protestants, and it comes from the Catholic institution. And I know that we are divided. I know there's some supposed know-it-alls that say, well, Catholics are Christians. You know, they won't make a stand against that Catholic system. And there's some Protestants say Catholics are not Christians. Well, I will let you know how I stand on this. I do not believe that a Catholic that is under the Catholic institution, that is following the Catholic laws and bylaws and all this, what they do, I do not believe they are Christians. But I do believe if they have repented of their sins and are truly born again, they're no longer Catholics, but they're Christians. Now that's sensible, isn't it? Now let me say a word about the Protestants. I do not believe that everybody in a Protestant church are Christians. Just because we call ourselves Protestants does not make us Protestant people. It does not make us Christians if we say we're Christians. A Christian is someone that has truly repented of their sins, has asked Jesus Christ to come in their life. They have been born again by the Spirit of God. And they are a child of God. That is what a Christian is. And I have talked to ministers that are Protestants. They are no more Christian than a billy goat is. All they have is just a job. And they like it for the money and for the power. And they have told me they are not Christians. When I got down to pinpoint them, they confessed they were not Christian. They just had a job. That, to me, is just as big an abomination as being under some cultic system that is not Christian either. Okay? Now, I have nothing against Catholic people whatsoever. I'm not prejudiced. But I want to let you know that the Word of God lays out certain things that we must obey to become a Christian. And I will let you know a Pope will not lead us into true salvation. Because, let me tell you, there is only one mediator, people, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that laid His life down. A Pope did not lay His life down. I don't care how moral they may be, how intelligent they may be, how well-liked and loved they may be, that does not make them Jesus Christ. And I'll say the same thing for the Protestants. I don't care how great a man of God, you know, a pastor or a leader may be. I don't care how prosperous he is, how big of a kingdom he has built. If that man is not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, he cannot lead us truly into God. And he is not a Christian. And even if he is a Christian, he is born again, that does not make him a mediator at all. Jesus Christ is our mediator. But I do not believe that the Catholic system and institution, the way it is set up, is Christian. I have to say that. And I see a lot of faults and things are wrong with our Protestant hierarchy also. There's a lot of sin and corruption going on that is abomination in God's sight also. I know I was in the inner circle of a big denomination one time and I saw a lot of stuff. Now, I want to read this verse, and I'm not just picking on the Catholics, but I hope to pray some of you out there are listening, because it is truly God's desire that you do repent and you are covered with His blood and you are truly saved and you are born again into the kingdom of God. And I only say this because the Word of God says we must preach the truth. And I am not going to compromise for nobody's sake. I am not a respecter of people. And I know there are people that are standing with the Catholics. They will not tell them the truth because they are receiving Catholic money. And therefore they compromise. I want to let you know that I am not a man pleaser. And I let you know also that I am not respecting people for their applause, to be patted on the back or to be liked, because I am doing this for God's sake. I am a servant of God. And there are some well-known leaders today, they will not stand against that because they are receiving Catholic money to back them up. And therefore they will not tell those poor Catholic people the truth that they need to be saved. I have to say that. And I want to let you know also that I believe that those people that do that are cursed. Their blessings are cursed, and that's why they have to turn to begging. I believe any ministry that has to get on the radio or television or newsletter and has to beg for finances to keep going, I believe that they have a curse on them. Because I truly believe if you do not lean on the arm of flesh, that God will supply your needs. And that's why too many Protestants have you are under the curse, because they have to turn to begging to keep going. I am not begging to keep going. God will keep this ministry going. Now I'm going to read this curse and you can take it for what it's worth. And this comes from the Romish pontifical, and it's used against Protestants. Now I'm sorry, I didn't write this. They wrote this. You take it up with the Roman Catholic institution. I had nothing to do with this, but I'm going to read it to you because I have it in front of me. It goes like this. May God Almighty and all His saints curse them with the curse with which the devil and his angels are cursed. Let them be destroyed out of the land of the living. Let the vilest of depths come upon them, and let them descend alive into the pit. Let their seed be destroyed from the earth by hunger and by thirst and nakedness, and all the distress let them perish. May they have all misery and pestilence and torment. Let all they have be done cursed. Always and everywhere let them be cursed. Speaking and silent let them be cursed. Within and without let them be cursed. From the crown of the head to the sole of the foot let them be cursed. Let their eyes become blind. Let their ears become deaf. Let their mouth become dumb, let their tongue cleave to their jaws. Let not their hands handle, let not their feet walk, let all the members of their body be cursed. Cursed let them be, standing or lying, from this time forth forever, and thus let their candle be extinguished in the presence of God, and at the day of judgment. Let their burial be with dogs and asses. Let hungry wolves devour their corpse. Let the devil and his angels be their companions forever. Amen and amen. So be it. So let it be. Now that's the end of the curse. Now I want you to just think about that. Now this is what I'm talking about, a spoken curse. This is one way a curse can come upon us. Now anybody in the right mind would not try to curse people like this. Even the Satanists got a little bit crazy to do this, but I can see that because they actually served Satan. But for Catholics to curse Protestants in this form here, you know, you need to consider what kind of people would do this. You've got to consider your institution, is it really of God? And I tell you, there has been a fight going on for centuries over this Catholic and Protestant business. And I used to really didn't pay much mind to it, you know. I always said, well, Catholics, you know, they're all right. And I asked God, sincerely, people begin to ask me, well, what do you think about the Catholics? Are they really Christians? And through the years, I didn't pay much mind to this until a couple, 3 years ago. And I said, God, what is the issue on this? What do I tell people? Where do you stand in this? And God began to give us literature. He began to send us things our way. And I said, oh, God, that is awful heavy. Such as this curse I just read to you. That is a heavy curse. And it comes from the Catholic institution. Now, why is it like that, folks? Is that really of God, or is that, you know, the Antichrist working through people? And I know there's precious Catholic people. I know there's a lot of sincere people. I know there's a lot of precious Protestants that are in deception, you know, in some cults and things. And this is why that we must proclaim the truth. Our liberty is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we just forget about denominations and institutions and organizations? Why don't we forget about all that man has created? Why don't we just look upward to God? Why don't we just go back to what the Bible says? Why do we have to rewrite the Bible and make it go our way and add things and take things away? Why don't we take God's Holy Scripture the way He intended us to read it? I just want to leave this with you today, because I've got nothing personally against the Catholics whatsoever, but I also know that the Catholic institution is not of God. I have to say that. Even their doctrines do not even match up with the Word of God. And I know they've got their own Bible. It's because they wrote their own Bible to prove they are right, but they are not right. And a lot of the things we take heed today in our Protestant circles, a lot of the doctrines people that have been preached today is not right either. And we're not supposed to hate the Catholics. We're not supposed to make war against them. But we are supposed to pray one for another and see that we would really come into the knowledge of the Son of God, and we really would be born again. Our sins really would be forgiven. You know, we are going to stand before God and give an account someday what we have done. And I tell you, I want my hands to be clean. I want my hands to be clean of anybody's blood. And if I don't say what God has put on my heart to say, I'm going to be responsible for God. And I'm not going to compromise the truth because someone may not like it or someone may like it. And this is a curse here that I've just read to you. And this will affect people. And I also, maybe the next broadcast, I'm going to read the Knights of the Columbus oath. That is another Catholic oath that the Jesuits have taken. And I want you to pay attention to that. See, I'm not just purposely coming up with these things, but I feel like I need to talk about these things. Some of you people out there may get set free by hearing some of this thing. You know, you may see that the institution you're in, and maybe the church you're in, is really not ordained of God. It's just some man has ordained it and said it's God. When are we going to get down to business of God? When are we really going to seek God's face? Say, God, there is so much confusion down here in the religious circle. What is your truth? I've had to do this, folks. I've had to do this. I was so sick and tired of the religious circuit and the circles and all the stuff that was going on that I was ready to backslide at one time. I said, God, I can't handle it anymore. They said, what is right anymore? There's so much confusion going around. And this is when God called my wife and I in a prayer closet 4 years ago. And I thank God for that day. He said, come out of that church and come into the prayer closet. And we spent 3 long years in there with God without even going to a church. You know, we had fellowship. But I mean, we just didn't run off to just stay in some church somewhere just because we had to. God began to give us revelation and speak to us. He began to reveal things. And some things I've talked about over the air here, some of you think I'm crazy by saying them. Why don't you spend time with God and find out for yourself? You see the way God sees things opposed to the way man sees things. Amen. I tell you, I was shocked to hear some things come out of God's mouth. It wasn't like, you know, what I've heard in the past. There's some pretty heavy things God's got to say. And God's concern is that His people come out of her. It says in Revelation, come out of her, my people. And you know, I can't truly say He's just talking about the Roman Catholic institution there. I have to believe He's talking about Babylon in general. The whole religious system that's not of God. The whole thing. You pseudo-Christians. You mystical and Messiah-centered cults. All of them profess Christ and God. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, all these things. They profess God as an element in their belief system. But let me tell you, I still believe it's all confusion. I still believe it's all Babylon. I believe there's only one God. And I believe that we must get down to business with God. I believe as Christians, it's our responsibility to seek God at any cost. Not just go by what, you know, somebody has taught us. And I know there's some good teachings going around by men and women of God who have spent time with God. And we need to listen. But also, I do know there's a lot of garbage going around you can't believe. And I just pray that you take what I have said today, take it before God. And if you think that I'm false, just go ahead and believe that. But I tell you, this curse I read to you coming from the Roman Catholic institution is not something I made up. They have published this. It's an authorized curse published in a Romish pontifical. So I didn't make it up. And the Knights of Columbus oath, when I read that, I didn't make it up. They made it up. And these are some things, people, that we really need to take heed to. You know, and this is another thing I want to talk about in a future broadcast, is breaking cultish covering. That's why I'm talking about this. I always get people that have been in cults, you know, such as, say, the Roman Catholic Institution, or Jehovah's Witness, or Mormonism, or any of these things. I said, you need to break that covering that's over your mind. You need to break the soul tie with that particular thing where you can truly be set free to follow after the Lamb. Oh, I'm telling you, God will not lead us into deception. Satan will. And there's numerous religious demons around today that just love to act like God. You know, they come on like they're God. They're not God. They're religious spirits. Deceiving spirits. Doctrines of devils. What do you think all this is? And of course, each one of us in our own belief system, we look at the other man and say, well, that's them. They're under that doctrine of devil. Thank God I've got the truth. I don't think any of us have all the truth. I think we all need to fall on our face before God and repent. I think repentance is a daily thing with all of us. We should always repent. We should always ask God to help us. We can't just sign our name to a piece of paper and say, I belong to this. I belong to the Catholic Church. I belong to the Protestant Church. I think that's a bunch of nonsense. God never created institutions and denominations. Man did that. There's only one way to God. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. Why don't we just believe that? Let's just go to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. In Him is safety and deliverance and healing, preservation, glory to God, happiness and joy. Well, my time is up today, so tune in again the next broadcast, and we're going to continue on. I'm going to teach you how to break some curses. And then we're going to go on into the area of soul ties and show you the areas that we need to be set free in the area of soul ties. So God bless you, and we'll see you then.